are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
I want to talk to you tonight about breakthrough, breaking through the ceiling. Breaking through the ceiling of opinion. How many of you know everybody has an opinion? Everybody has an opinion about you. Everybody knows what you can do and what you cannot do. So tonight we're going to break through that ceiling. Amen. We're not going to live in these confines, these little boxes imposed upon us by the culture and by people and by tradition and by our surrounding and by our environment. Come on, somebody tonight, if you believe you're going to have a breakthrough, you're going to break through the ceiling. You're coming out of your box. Give the Lord a praise. The law of the lid is about an experiment done with fleas. The researchers put a bunch of fleas in a jar to study for 24 hours. The experimenters put these fleas in a glass jar with a lid for 24 hours. Then they took the lid off. And the researchers noted that something strange about the fleas happened afterwards. The fleas would initially jump and hit their heads against the lid. But then after a while, they would jump just lower, just below the lid. Normally fleas can jump 150 times its size, but they got tired of hitting their head on that lid. So they backed off and limited themselves. Even when the lid was taken off, they would not jump any higher. They were so conditioned by their environment, by the ceiling, that even when the ceiling was gone, they did not even attempt to jump any higher. I wonder how many of you are confined there in Cape Town tonight, here in Bloemfontein, to the opinions of people. How many of you live a lesser life because of something somebody said about you? Thank God for all those positive affirmations in our lives. Our parents, teachers, coach, people who affirmed you positively. But most people have grown up without any positive affirmation. And by the way, we should be very intentional to positively affirm people. Amen. We should tell people what they can do and not what they cannot do. Most people grew up in life hearing what they could not do, what they were not meant to do, that they were to settle for the lot dealt to them or the card deck dealt to them. But I want to tell you tonight, you are going to go higher. You are going to break every limitation. You are going to be the generation that will discover the greatest discoveries. You will be the greatest inventors. You will discover the AIDS cure. Come on, say amen. You will discover the cancer cure in the name of Jesus Christ. You will discover great things. Paralytics will walk, I know, in the name of Jesus. But God's going to use some doctors, some researchers, some scientists in these days to discover amazing things. If you believe it tonight, say amen. Come on. So how many of you want to break the boundaries in your life or shift those boundaries? Remember, one man's ceiling is another man's floor. So I'm not going to live under your ceiling, your opinion. I'm going to live where God wants me to go. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you can go higher. You can go further. You can explode that church in Worcester. Don't let anybody else tell you the ministry is difficult. Difficult without God. With God, it's easy. Because Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, this year you are going to go to a whole nother level in God. You're going to do great things and great exploits for God. Napoleon Bonaparte said, impossible is a word to be found only in the dictionary of fools. Orison Swain Marden said, all who have accomplished great things have had a great aim, have fixed their gaze on a goal which was high. One which sometimes seemed impossible. Impossible is a word to be found only in the dictionary of fools. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. For with God, come on, say it. No. With God, all things are, say it. All things are possible. So this year, your impossibilities will become possibilities. How many people have done amazing things? Done things that were told to them that it could not be done. And they chose not to believe what people said they could not do. If I had to listen to people, I would still be pastoring a church in Lady Brand. If I had to listen to the opinions of people, we would never have moved from that 1,500-seater. If I listen to the opinions of people, we would never have had more than one CR church, one church in many locations, because when God spoke to me about another congregation and pastoring more than one church, people said to me, well, it's never been done. It cannot be done. It doesn't fit the stereotype, not even to talk about using technology while everybody watches technology. People are never going to come and watch a screen in church on a Sunday. And tonight we have 34 locations throughout South Africa where thousands and thousands of people are being touched by God. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a praise for technology, for the rhema word of God. Hallelujah. Impossible. A word only found in the dictionary of fools. Roger Bannister. Everybody thought running the mile under 4 minutes was humanly impossible. Scientists, doctors said that man were not designed to break the 4 minute mile. But in 1954, at the Iffley Road Track in Oxford, England, medical student Roger Bannister became the first person in recorded history to run the mile in under 4 minutes at a time of 3:59.4 seconds. Hallelujah. He broke a barrier. He shifted a boundary. He made it easier for every other runner after him to know that it is possible. And now people run the mile in I think 3 minutes, what, 40 something seconds, even below that. Amen. You see, when we break barriers, we show other people what can be done. The Wright brothers, two American brothers, dreamed the impossible dream. They dreamed that one day man can fly. By studying the aerodynamics of birds, they developed blueprints from the contour and mobility of birds' wings. From 1899, they worked on several schematics and experiments that usually ended in wreckage and failure. But they continued working toward their hopes and dreams. In 1901, the two men, with little formal scientific training, solved a problem so complex and demanding that it had to be defied better-known experiments for centuries. They successfully remained in the air for the longest recorded time, and they were the first to fly. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Landing on the moon on May 25, that ball that you see in the evening, when you wake up, in May 1961, President John F. Kennedy announced a plan to put a man on the moon. There was only a small problem. It was impossible. NASA had absolutely no idea how to put a man on the moon, although none of that technology existed and none of those procedures were known at the time. It had to be done because somebody made up his mind, we've got to put somebody on the moon. Impossibly, impossible, a word only found in the dictionary of fools. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Come on, you can break barriers. You can shift boundaries. You can get out of your confines. Come on, you don't have to live in this little confined space any longer and wonder, what's up, Jack? Tonight, you're going to come out. Tonight, you're going to break your barrier. You're going to break your boundary. You're going to shift some things in the spirit realm. You're going to shift some things in your life. Come on. You are going to break out to the left and you're going to break out to the right. You're going to accomplish everything that God has for you in Jesus. Oh, come on. Slap that person, not up the side of the head, but give him a high five that's just sitting there all quiet. Hallelujah. Chris Barnard, on the 3rd of December 1967, South African doctor. Give it up for South Africa. Come on, you young doctors, young medical scientists. Come on, you engineers. You're going to discover great things. Come on, you inventors. Come on, you dreamers. Come on, you believers. Come on, you pastors. Hallelujah. Switch the light on. Hallelujah. You can discover something great. You can patent something that can transform the world. He performed the first human to human heart transplant in the Grote Skier Hospital, Kapstad. It took more than 10 years of experiments, studies, and heart surgery to get Barnard and his gifted cardiothoracic team of 30 equipped to perform the 9-hour long operation. This extraordinary event pushed the boundaries of science into the dawn of a new medical era. Somebody gave a million, I'm going to be the first to give 10 million. I want to give 1 billion. Shift the barriers. Shift the limitations. I'm not just going to grow by 10 this year. I'm going to grow by 100 this year. I'm not just going to expand little by little. I'm going to break through this year. Come on. I'm going to explode this year. Oh, come on, CRC. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to explode by the power of the Holy Ghost. No more limitation. No more bondage. Doesn't matter what people say, can be done or cannot be done. It matters what God says. So I want to talk to you about breaking through the ceiling of people's opinion. And you may think people's opinions do not matter, but really it matters to most of us. Because somehow inherently we want to please everybody. And somehow we think that we need to be validated and affirmed by people, or something is lacking. And sure, we need people over us in the Lord, and we need our parents to validate and affirm us. But I want to tell you, even if nobody affirms you, your Father in heaven has affirmed you already. And God says you are a winner. God says you are the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. God says you will go over, you will not go under. God says you are royalty, you are a king, you are a priest. Come on, feel good about yourself tonight and shout amen in Jesus' name. So overcoming people's opinion is a prerequisite to fulfill God's destiny in your life. And really, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It matters what you say about yourself. So David is a great example in the Bible of somebody who had to overcome people's opinions in order to fulfill his destiny. Think about the people's opinions about you. Think about what people said about you when you were a child. We're not going to camp there, but think about it. Because a lot of those opinions, or lack of opinions, have defined most people to where they are. We're living in a world where people have an identity crisis. Who am I? They want to be affirmed by somebody. A 14-year-old girl whose father clumsily rejects her because she goes through puberty, no longer puts his arms around her, suddenly lacks identity, and she goes around listening to her friends who has premarital sex, claiming to feel good about herself. And because the father no longer has his arms around her, she's looking for a man to affirm her, a young man, a 16-year-old. Somebody else's opinion to say, oh, you're beautiful, you've got good legs, you've got good eyes, you're a pretty girl. Somehow she will lose herself just to be affirmed by somebody else's opinion. Most of you are not parents. But the day you become a parent, that child matters everything in your life. You don't give that child for somebody else to raise. You don't reject that child. You affirm that child all the days of your life. You tell that child who they are and what they can do. I tell you, I told all my children, my two girls, I said, you are more pretty than Miss World. You are the prettiest girls alive on this world. Still today, when I SMS them, I flirt with my daughters. Say, you're mooi dung. My daughters. It's all they've heard from their dad. So they will not understand if a man does not say to them, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous. My son, handsome dude. My improved version. David, you can do anything you set your mind to. I've told him that since he was this small. It's your opinion that matters. What you think about yourself. You go for a job interview and people say, we don't want you. You're not going to feel rejected and go crawl in a corner and think, oh, I don't have what it takes. You say, no, they don't know what they're losing. Because the company who employs me will find out, because I'm going to be like a Jacob. From the moment I work, that company is going to be blessed. Come on, I am the real deal. When I land, everybody's going to sit up amazed. Everybody's going to be astounded. One of our young person people that I'm so proud of, Martin, that studied Jan Gray College, studied accounting, then went to Pretoria, and with a big, big property group, just took a temporal job. And I said to him, just shine and be your best. And now he's the financial director of a huge, huge company. They're sending him overseas to launch a branch for them because he grabbed the one opportunity that came, a temporal opportunity. He made himself indispensable. People just have to discover who you really are, who God made you to be. Come on, you don't minimize yourself. You don't devalue yourself. When people get to know the real you, they will love you. They will value you. They will want to employ you. They will want to promote you. They will want to give you extra bonuses because the favor and the grace of God are upon you. Don't you be one of those silent, sullen Christians that define themselves every time you are rejected or every time somebody talks down at you. No one can make you feel inferior except with your consent. You don't agree that you are inferior. You do not agree with people that you are less. You do not agree with people when they say you are a nobody, when they treat you like you're a nobody. No, you just walk aside like David. You step aside and you say, you don't know what I know. You don't know who I am. You don't know whose I am. I belong to my heavenly Father. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know who I am and I know whose I am. So I'm not going to be defined by these moments in my life when the rugby coach do not select me and he doesn't give me a reason. God's already figured out who you are. Before the foundations of the earth, God predestined you. God knew you were going to be alive. He wrote your history beginning to the end. He already spelled out all your successes. He will use your father and your mother, and he will use people to help you fulfill your destiny. But he's the authentic, original originator of your destiny. He's the one who qualifies you. He's the one who calls you. He's the one who saves you. That's why you cannot have a relationship with God through someone else. You cannot worship God through Saint Bernard. You cannot worship God through your ancestors. You cannot worship God through your grandparents. You cannot worship God through your cousin. You cannot worship God through your parents. You cannot worship God through your wife, through your husband. You need your own authentic encounter with God, your own relationship with God in the name of Jesus. Because it's only in God's presence that you will discover who you are. It's only in God's presence that you will discover whose you are. It's only in God's presence that you will discover who God called you to be in Jesus' name. That's why every generation needs an encounter with God. The millennial generation needs a real, true encounter with God. Not mollycoddle, soft, toned down, seeker-sensitive, intellectual philosophy. Every generation needs an encounter with the fire of God, with the power of God. Every human being needs an encounter with God, or you'll always be defined by somebody else. Think about fashion for a moment. Who decides what is cool in any case? Some pop star cuts his hair crazy. I mean, rolls up his pants to below. You know, in our day when pants were that short, it's because you couldn't, it was you grew out of your pants. Now it's cool to wear shoes without socks. And we all know if you wear shoes without socks, the shoes stink. But it's cool to have stink shoes. That's fine. That's fine. It's fine. Feel cool. Feel cool with your stinky shoes. Amen. Just don't take them off next to me in an airplane, because I'm going to say something. Don't take them off next to me in the church. But be cool. Be cool. It's okay. Be cool and smelly. It's okay. I mean, I'm all for it. I'm also going to, you know, I've got a lot of jeans that are so worn out, they're holy. So I'm just going to wear them. Show you my leg. Show you my bum down here. Got a nice, show you my bum. It's cool, man. Because I'm just trying to identify with something. I'm just trying to identify with somebody and not talk about the lo and behold dresses the girls wear. I'm just trying to... I'm just trying to fit in with people's opinion, with fashion's opinion. Be fashionable, please. Amen. Ladies, be fashionable. Get the gist of what I'm saying. But who decides it's cool to wear a cap sideways? If a cap actually is meant to keep the sun out of your eyes. Who decides it's cool to wear sunglasses
while you preach? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
I thought sunglasses were for the building. For the sun. But somebody said, somebody's opinion was,
this is cool. Cool. This is cool. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Yeah. Cool. This is cool.
So everybody buys into it. Cool. Somebody's opinion. The whole world is formulated by people's opinions. Christianity is formulated. Religion. Politics. Young man stands up and he makes a statement, sways people's opinion because they don't have an opinion themselves. Young girl gives herself to a guy because she doesn't have an opinion of herself. That she's beautiful. That the most precious thing she has is her virginity. Come on, girls, shout amen. Give the Lord a praise if you believe it tonight. Hallelujah. You can live right here because of your family that said, this is who we are. We are the Joneses. We go nowhere in life. This is who we are. This is my world. What a beautiful world. Small, little world. Where I feel so safe and so comfortable. And I can look at the world through a glass and criticize everybody. Oh, but we dolly up this little world as if it's beautiful because we don't want to get out and venture into the unknown, the journey that God has for us, the adventure, the life. Pray this prayer with your own lips tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sin. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ, the Savior of the world. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you are alive tonight. I ask you, Lord Jesus, save me. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be a child of God. I give myself back to you. Thank you for love. No more. No more. No more confinement. No more. No more limitation. But you're going to go higher by the power, by the presence, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. People may have their opinion, but God also has his opinion. Pray this prayer with your own lips tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sin. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ, the Savior of the world. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you are alive tonight. I ask you, Lord Jesus, save me. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be a child of God. I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. Thank you for giving me a brand new life. Thank you that I am your child forever. I'm born again. I am forgiven. I'm heaven bound. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.